Our scripture reading is taken from James chapter 5, verse 17. James chapter 5, verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. This is the word of the Lord. It gives me great delight and pleasure to welcome Dr. Benny Prasad to our pulpit this morning. Dr. Benny is from Bangalore, India. He is a missionary and a musician who holds the world record for being the fastest to travel to every nation. How many? 245 nations in 6 years, 6 months, and 22 days. Presently, he runs a counseling cafe called Chai 316 with his wife, Zanbini. He has written a book called Unthinkable, and it's written as a tool to give to pre-believers, as well as to encourage the Christian community. And inside, there are 32 unthinkable stories from 32 nations. So the books are up for grabs. First come, first serve. We have enough. I mean, at the concourse, no price tag on the books, but free will donations are welcome for members of the church. There will be a book table also next to it at the concourse, and Pastor Benny will be there to sign the books. So will you join me as we welcome Pastor Benny to the pulpit?
Good morning, church. Morning. It's almost going to finish the morning, then we'll get into the afternoon. And it's such a joy to be here with you all this morning. I want to thank Pastor Victor and all of them responsible for being so gracious for me to be here with you all. This is my first time preaching at St. John's and Margaret. I was here last month to attend a wedding of Kenneth and Mylene. And now I'm here just for this week. Last weekend I was preaching at Coos, and this weekend here, and tomorrow morning I fly back to Bangalore. And I'm going to speak on a subject called fervent prayer. And we will unpack this. I've had very good response from the last two congregations. I'm not a very sweet talker. I'm a unpolished speaker, so sometimes certain words might cause a little bit of discomfort, but it's okay, you know, since I'm a newcomer, you can forgive me for that. If you have your Bibles, please turn your Bibles to James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. You heard the pastor read, and I will also like to read. If you don't have a Bible, sit next to a Christian. A Christian will carry a Bible, but I know we live in a sophisticated, digitalized world, but I still thank the Lord for the freedom that I have to carry this Bible. I don't get this freedom in some of the countries that I travel, so as much as possible, I try to carry my Bible. So James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. For the background of this passage, I would encourage you to go home and read 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18, and you will understand why did Elijah pray such a crazy prayer. You know, when I read this passage, I'm always reminded of the day that my wife and myself, we got married. We got married on the 6th of August, 2016. And it was a rainy season at the time. And my wife and myself, we wanted to do something different. Because Indian weddings are lavish and foolish. Because they spend so much of money on that one day. And then they suffer for the rest of their lives trying to clear the EMIs. So we wanted to start our married life by saving and giving, not by trying to clear EMIs. We cannot stop people from coming because RSVP does not work in our culture. People just show up and, you know, there were about 3,000 people at our wedding. Half of them, we didn't even know who they were. But it was nice to see people. So how can we cut down on the wedding expenses is with food. Now, if the food is good at a wedding, you'll remember the couple for a week. If the food is bad, you'll remember them for a month. But if you don't serve food at all, they'll remember you for a lifetime. And that's what happened. We didn't serve dinner. People still talk about our wedding till today, actually. So, you know, we wanted to save money and give back to somebody who needed money. And we had our wedding at St. Mark's Cathedral, and outside is where we kept the reception. But because it's a rainy season, the concern was to have a tent. Now, having tent for such a large place, that defeats the purpose of saving money, where all the money that you save on food, you're going to spend on the tent. So then they said, well, there is a cheaper version of the tent, which is a Chinese tent. I said, what is the difference? They said, the difference is if it drizzles, then the water will just flow. I said, then what happens if it rains heavy? And they said, oh, if it rains heavy, then the water is going to seep. I said, if I can have faith for drizzling, why shouldn't I have faith for no rain at all? And so my wife and myself, we sat down and we prayed. But the weather report says, 6th of August at 3:16 p.m. on 2016, there's going to be a thunderstorm. Every day the news did not change. Every day we are checking. Finally came the 6th of August. In the morning it says thunderstorm in Bangalore on 6th of August in the afternoon. But we had faith. And God did an amazing miracle. We had people from all over the world. And, you know, some of them, like Singapore is such a spoiled country. You know, you are so blessed with, I thank God that the AC did not work in the back. At least a little bit you'll get to taste how other nations are sometimes, you know. Like talking about, you know, power supply. I was in Sierra Leone and I just landed there and, you know, this pastor came and he said, Benny, can I do anything for you? I said, Pastor, I just need to charge my laptop. That's it. Nothing else. He said, don't worry, Benny. As soon as the power comes, you can charge. Power cuts are common in India, so I knew that, okay, there's no problem. I waited for 2 hours. Power did not come. So finally I told Pastor, when is the power coming? He said, any minute, Benny. I said, okay, that sounds very promising. So just to check, I asked, when did the power go? What time in the morning did it go? He said, no, it's been 2 months, but any minute the power will come. No, so, you know, when you travel, you just learn to appreciate what you have been blessed with. And here, you know, God blessed that day that it was almost like my Singaporean friend said, Benny, seems like the whole city is air conditioned. It rained a day before, it rained a day after. But on that day, God really was gracious to us. So I remember, you know, this prayer is not just a nice fancy prayer in the Bible, but it can happen even in our lives. Now, the book of James is a letter written by James. But the background of this is James was the leader of the Jerusalem church. And the Jewish Christians scattered because of persecution. And there was a lot of challenges. And James writes this letter to encourage the scattered Jewish Christians. So that's the background behind the letter of James. Now, interestingly, James calls Elijah an ordinary human being. Now, when we think about prayer, you know, it's one thing to just sit in a nice, cozy chair and with air conditioning on and then pray, God, do something in Ukraine, do something here and there. But fervent prayer is very different. You know, fervent prayer is like this. You know, when I was in North Korea, I was invited by the government of North Korea to come and perform for the 100th birth anniversary of the founder Kim Il-sung. Now, they gave me a one-way ticket to come to North Korea. And the only trip that a government ever sponsored in my life for a mission trip, well, I call it mission trip, was the government of North Korea. So they gave me a one-way ticket. I showed up. I had a contract for 7 days to perform, finished all my contracts. On the seventh day, they come and say, can you stay for 5 more days? I said, no, I can't. I have to go. I have other plans. They said, no, you must stay. No, first they started off with a nice note, can you stay? Then the next thing they said, you must stay. And I said, no, I can't. And then they left. Now, you don't have a return ticket. You can have all the money in the world, but you cannot get a return ticket in North Korea. During that time, that night, I fervently prayed. I energetically prayed. I prayed passionately with a great deal of enthusiasm that I will get a return ticket. And next day morning, they gave me the return ticket. And I was able to fly out of North Korea. You know, when you... Thank you. Now, when you pray fervently, it's very different to a casual prayer. My question for you is, as you pray, do you have faith that God answers your prayer? Or is it something that is part of your tradition, a part of your ritual, a part of your just a day-to-day thing? But here, Elijah prayed, things worked. I prayed, things worked. Which means that we all can pray and we can still expect God to answer our prayers. The reason why Elijah says, James says Elijah is an ordinary human being is because contrary to James, there were other Jewish writers who said that Elijah was not an ordinary human being. They said he was not born of a human parents. Rather, Elijah was of an angel. And he, you know, he had four elements in him. That is earth, air, water, and fire. That's what the Jewish writers would say during those days. That's why they called him a superhero. And true, Elijah is like a superhero. You know, I was doing a little bit of study and I was an athlete and I love sports. And when I grew up, I used to put coconut oil all over my body and try my best to become as dark as possible because I thought the darker you are, the faster you can run. And in those days, it was all black and white TV and it was even more darker, the person who was doing well in sports. So I did that and I was doing really well. And they used to say, if the wind is for Benny, nobody's against him. I used to float in the air in long jump and, you know, 100 meters, 200 meters, 1,500 meters. I did so well. But at the age of 13, you know, I was so caught up in my warm-up on the final day in the school that I just lost track and stepped into the javelin zone accidentally. And I was doing my warm-up. Raju was throwing the javelin and he threw the javelin and it came and hit my spinal cord and I was thrown to the ground. It was a miracle I survived javelin hit, but all my sporting dreams came to an end. Now, when I look at Elijah, I believe he was an amazing sports person. The reason I would say that is, you know, the distance between Mount Carmel to Jezreel, where Ahab's palace was, is 27 kilometers. The fastest man so far, they say, is Usain Bolt, and he ran at a speed of 45 kilometers an hour. And the fastest chariot recorded is about 55 kilometers an hour. A half marathon is around 21 kilometers. And the fastest man to have run that is Abraham Kiptum from Kenya. He did that in 58 minutes and 18 seconds. And the Bible says that Elijah outran the chariot. So which means Elijah would have covered 27 kilometers in around 30 minutes or so. Unimaginable. Now, Usain Bolt and Abraham Kiptum had the best clothing for their run. They had the best track. And Elijah didn't have the track. And in fact, he ran with his robe. That is like as though, you know, you wear a sari and you try to run. That is how Elijah's dress code was. And with all of that, he outran the chariot. What a superhero he was. And yet, James calls him an ordinary human being. Why? He wants to tell his readers that if an ordinary man like Elijah, a man born with sinful nature, if God could answer his prayers because of his fervent prayer and faith, you and I can pray and we can expect God to move in our lives. That is what James is trying to say. Now remember, prayer is effective not because of great men and women who pray, but because of a great God who graciously hears our prayers and answers our prayers. The greatness of our prayer is about Jesus, not about us. So it is important that we do not outsource prayers. You know, don't shop around for prayers. Do you have faith that God can answer you? As a missionary, I've been in missions for more than 25 years. Very common for people to come and say, "Brother, please pray for me." I would say, "What to pray? Anything, just pray." No. You must, it is not something, you know, like a magical thing. No, you have to believe that God can answer you. A lot of the times we have faith when others pray for us, but we don't have faith that God can answer us. But if Elijah, an ordinary human being, just like us, born with sinful nature, could have such an extraordinary life with his prayer, I believe that God can answer your prayers and my prayers. You know, when I went to North Korea, my prayer was just, you know, there was so much of fervency and I prayed. Now I come to Singapore. It's very different. Singapore's prayer is like, you know, recently a friend of mine took me for lunch. And as she's driving me, she said, "Penny, pray that I'll be able to get a parking lot." You know, that is our pray that we'll be able to get a table in my favorite makan place closer to the window where the aircon is directly coming on me. Those are the kind of prayers that I've seen in Singapore, which is not even part of the top 10 prayer requests of the world. You are so blessed. But in the midst of that, I still believe there is room for fervent prayers. Reciting repeated words over and over again is the reverse of fervent prayer. You know, the more charismatic you get, the more we become, you know, we just, hallelujah, 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 praise the Lord, hallelujah, we're busy checking where that paper went, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your mind is not even used. You're just using your lips, praying something. But yes, you have the heart, but mind is not active. Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So use your mind and your heart as you pray. No, we just, it's the reverse of repeating things. Sometimes, come Lord, come Lord, come Lord. He can understand once. Why do you have to repeat so many times, you know? But we just gotten used to this routine. No, it'll be good for you to ask someone to record your prayer secretly and then listen how many times you have repeated things. And I did that. And I had to learn how to pray with my mind and my heart. And as I do these things. So the definition of fervent in Cambridge English Dictionary is displaying a passionate intensity, burning or glowing. To put it simply, to do anything fiercely means to do it with a great deal of enthusiasm. That is what fervent prayer is to pray with a great deal of enthusiasm. You know, someone said, fervent prayer is praying according to what moves you, and what moves you is according to what you know moves God's heart. And that is why it is so important to seek the will of God as we pray. It is so important to seek the will of God as we pray. Not just telling God, these are the things I want. Please do it. Please do it. So many times people say, Benny, I prayed and nothing worked. But is God's will there in your prayer? You know, Elijah had a particular position when he prayed. Now this was his position. You know, his head was between his knees. And this was the position he took when he prayed. Now, energetic is more accurate translation of the Greek word energomene, from which derives the word earnestly. You know, earnestly is a kind, earnest prayer is a kind of prayer that is inwrought by the Spirit. Inwrought is, means that intricately embroidered. So when you fervently pray, it is the Holy Spirit and you together inwrought, you pray. And when Elijah prayed, this was his position. You know, in those days, when Hebrew women gave birth, this was the position they took to give birth to a child. And this was a birthing prayer. So when Elijah prayed, there was a lot of strength and power that was exhibited. Even physically, there was a lot of energy that was exhibited when he prayed. So when we pray, how do we pray? Do we even have an answer? Or are we just doing it for the sake of it? Do we have faith that God can answer my prayer? There are a few things that I want to highlight in terms of why Elijah's prayer worked and where are we struggling in terms of seeing an answer to our prayers. The first thing is Elijah learned to wholly rely on God. Elijah learned to wholly rely on God. 1 Kings 17, 5 and 6 says, so Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped beside Kiriath Brook, east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. After Elijah's first confrontation with Ahab, God sent him to Kiriath Brook. In that place, there was no food, there was no supplies, there was nothing. And Elijah had to completely, totally, wholeheartedly rely on God. He did not have a plan B or a plan C. For him, everything was dependent on God. And he relied on God. And God sent the most unlikely bird, a non-vegetarian bird. Raven is a scavenger. And Raven would bring him bread and meat every morning and every evening. And he drank from the brook. When was the last time you wholly relied on God when you prayed? Now, I came from a broken mess. Now, my father is an aerospace scientist. And me being the firstborn in the family, I was expected to become like my father. You know, same problem in Singapore. You know, you have such great expectations over your children. But how can you prove medically that every firstborn son will have the same brains like the father? And we push our children to become this. And then, I don't know, in Singapore, in India, comparison thrives. They compare you to the auto driver's children, the bus driver's children, the milkman's children. Everywhere you're compared and compared. And I struggled growing up. I had no value growing up. Constantly being compared. And it was so hard. It was so hard. So I did not have a future. And I was at the point of committing suicide at the age of 16, which I'll tell you a little later. But, you know, when Jesus came into my life and he told me that, Benny, I have a vision for you, and that is for you to travel to every country in the world. I said, how can I travel to every country? Because my dream was one country. I'm a high school dropout. I've not finished my high school yet. And I had too many questions when I grew up. My teachers refused to answer my questions. And so I lost my interest in studies. And in my 10th grade, I created history by being the first ever failure from this amazing school. So they said, we don't want your son to be here. And so they threw me out. I tell the world today that I could not finish my high school because the Indian educational system was not up to my standard. And so they threw me out of school. Because the same school calls me back. I give lectures. I'm the graduation speaker. It's crazy. How can you call me back when you threw me out? You know, but that's the transforming power of Jesus Christ. So when I asked the Lord, how can I travel the world? And he said, I will provide for you. Now, this is the map of my travels. This is not Singapore Airlines, But this is how God asked me to travel to every country in the world, 257 countries. So first thing I told God was, God, I'm going to have a financial deal with you with four principles. I will never ask for money. I will never borrow money. I will never take a loan from the bank or trust the credit card. You provide for me and I will be your traveler. So every country I went, I paid my own tickets. Never charged for a single concert till today. And being a YWAM missionary, I've learned to live by faith. And God was so gracious in providing everything that it took for me to go to the ends of the earth. Literally the ends of the earth. Like the last dot on the left-hand corner is a tiny little country called Pitcairn Island. I doubt if anyone has been to Pitcairn. Anyone here? You know, it's so far away that from the nearest airport, it takes 2 days by boat. But the boat is available only once in 3 months. So you plan really well. So when I went there, they told me that I was the first ever international artist to perform a concert. So I was excited. And as I was performing, you know, the organizer comes and says, Benny, you will not believe this is the largest gathering we have ever seen. I thought this is such an exaggeration. I said, I can literally count the number of people. He said, yes, it's 54 people. I said, so what? He said, the entire country's population is 66 people. So 80% of the country has come to watch you. Now that is only possible in Pitcairn Island. And you know, this is the beautiful thing that the Lord has done in my life. From being a broken mess, at the verge of committing suicide, being a failure, to giving me this world record of becoming the fastest man in the history to travel to every country in the shortest time. This was possible because I wholly relied on God. It is not because I prayed a lot. It's not because I sacrificed a lot. It's nothing about me. It is just purely that I relied on God. He supplied everything that it took for me to travel to every country on this earth. And if Jesus can do that in my life, I believe we can experience God in a supernatural way, even in our own day-to-day lives. After traveling to every country in the world, God gave me this vision to build a unique cafe called Chai 316 in Bangalore. Now, Bangalore is known as the suicide capital of India. We have a lot of suicides among young people who are at the verge of committing suicide. And that is mainly because of the different pressures that they have accumulated because of different situations in the society. And God says, Benny, I want you to travel, I want you to build this cafe. And the builder said it will cost you $1 million to build it. I said, God, how can I build something like this? I'm a simple YWAM missionary. And then, you know, God reminded me how he can provide. So, you know, that's why I keep my old passport, so that it is a reminder of how God can provide. So this is my one passport. It's literally handful. So this is my one passport. There are about 15 books inside. You know, my favorite thing to carry this passport is at the immigration desk. When I put my passport across, the officer says, don't come as a family, come one person at a time. And then I tell them, I am this one person, and they are like, oh. And so Jesus said, if I can provide for you to travel to 257 countries, don't you think I can provide for you to build $1 million cafe? And this is a very special cafe where it's non-commercial. We only serve tea. And the price of the tea is decided by the students who walk in. And our goal is 80% listening and 20% talking. And if you ever come to Bangalore, please come and visit us. It's a fantastic place. And so I said, God, how will you provide? He said, use your CDs as a tool and don't put a price for the CDs. Let people decide. I said, God, I come from India. Anything that is free, we take it seriously. Are you sure that something like this would really work? Now I'm giving ideas to God as though he forgot to see the latest breaking news. But God said, I'll provide. And you know what? God did a miracle. He provided everything that it took in 2 years for the cafe to be built because I wholly relied on God. And today, every week, we rescue one young boy or a girl who is at the verge of committing suicide. Every week. And it's so wonderful what Jesus could do with our lives. And all of that happened wholly relying on God. Second point. Elijah daringly prayed for God-sized miracles. He daringly prayed for God-sized miracles. If you see 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 21 and 22. Three times he stretched himself out full length on the boy, praying with all his might. God, my God, put breath back into this boy's body. God listened to Elijah's prayer and put breath back into his body, and he was made alive. Wow. A dead boy's body, God brought back life in him. And he can do that even today. Elijah was a man of faith, unafraid to call upon God for help. He didn't mess around with small requests for God, but went straight to big requests that required faith and bravery. An ordinary man prayed for God-sized miracles. What is your God-sized miracle right now? What is it? What are you praying for? You know, one such situation for me, a God-sized miracle, was, when I was at the FIFA World Cup in Germany, performing on the cultural stages, and during the weekend, I used to go to churches to minister. And I was preaching my heart out in this church in Hanover, and I told them how I was willing to live for Jesus, die for Jesus. I was close to getting beheaded twice. And all these stories I was telling. And then at the end of the service, an African family came up to me and said, "Wow, that was a wonderful sermon. Have you been to Somalia?" I said, "No." They said, "It'll be wonderful if you can go to Somalia." I said, "Yes, I would love to go, but I don't know anyone." They said, "Well, we are from Somalia. And it'll be nice if you can go there. Our family members are still there. We can't go back because we have become followers of Jesus Christ and we'll be killed. But since you said you're ready to die, it will be nice if you can please go and share the gospel in Somalia." Now, you know, this place is a very powerful place, this pulpit. You know, people will hold you accountable when you speak. I couldn't tell them that, "Well, you can't take my message literally." But they did take it literally. And so I said, "Okay, I'm ready." So they connected me to their family. He was a medical doctor who was open to the gospel. We exchanged emails. I went to London, got my visa, and I bought my tickets for Somalia. Everything was set. But a week before, the doctor informed me saying, "Benny, 5 Christians' heads have been beheaded. Please don't come. It's very dangerous." So I told him, "I'm sorry, sir, for what has happened. But I've already informed my mom and dad that I'm going to Somalia. There is a possibility that I might be killed. And so if I don't come back, I will see you in heaven." So I told him, "I've already informed, I've prepared myself, and I'm ready to die." He said, "You might be ready to die, but we are not ready to die. Please don't come." And I said, "I've already booked my tickets." They said, "Well, we have decided to move to another city. And so we are sorry, we will not be there to receive you." You know, the most logical thing to do is to cancel the trip. It's evident, you don't need to pray. It is all there, the answers are there. All the roads are blocked, you have no connection. Easiest thing is to cancel. Many times we pray based on our circumstances. We give up based on circumstances. You know, faith is before the miracle, not after. So I did. I asked for a God-sized miracle. First thing I did was I prayed and I asked Jesus, "Jesus, do you want me to go or no?" He said, "Benny, I will make a way for you." So I prayed for a God-sized miracle that he would provide a connection going to one of the most dangerous places on this earth. So I bought the tickets. So when I took the flight and I sat in the plane from Djibouti, when we took off, oh my, the plane was in such a bad condition that one wing they have tied a rope, another wing they have put some duct tape. You know that this is the last journey of this aircraft. As we took off, after a certain point, the plane started to descend, go down. I knew that this plane might not make it to its destination, but did not expect things to happen so quickly. So I called up the steward and I said, sir, the plane is going down. He said, yes, it is going down. I said, why? He said, well, we have some empty seats in the plane. We want to pick up some passengers on the way. And sure, it just landed on a field called Galkayo. Two guys with AK-47 rifle escorted a few passengers. They got into the plane and we took off. Everyone felt normal except me, because this is not very common that has happened. And then the guy sees my guitar with all the flags and he says, have you been to all these countries? I said, yes. He said, where are you going? I said, I don't know. Where will you be staying? I don't know. Whom are you meeting? I don't know. And what will you be doing? I said, I don't know. There was one answer for all the questions. I wish that's how it was in my schooling days. I would have really done well. One answer for any question, you know. And when this, then he said, you're going to the most dangerous part and you have no clue. I said, you're right. He said, why don't you play a song? So I took out my guitar midair and I played a song in the plane. When I finished playing, he said, wow, you are a good musician. You know, my friend Abdullah is the head of the media. Would you like to meet him? I said, I would love to meet him. In fact, at this point, I was ready to meet anybody, even a pirate actually, you know. So he calls up. As soon as he got a signal, he calls up and he says, you know, I met this guy from India. He said, okay. Abdullah told, tell him to wait. I'm sending my driver. As soon as the plane landed, as I got off the plane, there was the driver waiting for me right at the entrance of the aircraft. It's the only time I ever had such a VIP entry into a country. He escorted me and took me to a hotel. And he said, you know, just put your bags up and come down. Abdullah is waiting for you. So Abdullah is the one on the left-hand corner with striped shirt. And he says, you know, would you like to play a song? So I finished playing. And then Bill on my right-hand corner says that, you know, tomorrow is a very important day where the elite of Somaliland is going to come. And it'll be nice if you can perform as an international artist representing the international and share your testimony. I said, I would love to, but tomorrow I have a flight to go to Djibouti. Abdullah says, why don't you go day after tomorrow? I said, I can't go day after tomorrow because there are no flights. Even though my concert is actually day after tomorrow, but there are no flights. He says, well, we can fix a plane for you. Now, I thought that's a big scam, because fixing tea, coffee, hot chocolate is fine, but fixing a plane, not in my dictionary. And so he says, what time do you have to be in Djibouti? I said, 5 o'clock day after tomorrow. He says, done. He takes his phone, makes a very cold call. Cancel tomorrow's flight and book it for day after tomorrow. I couldn't believe it at all. So I looked at Bill and I said, Bill, at least you will tell me the truth. And Bill says, Benny, Abdullah's family owns the airlines. They can cancel the plane whenever they want and they can fix the plane whenever they want. And he did a miracle. God did a miracle. The next day I was able to take my guitar, perform at this important event, share my testimony and play my guitar. And the following day I was able to go. You know, the easiest thing I could have done is to cancel my flight, my trip. I would have missed out on experiencing God's adventure. How many times we have allowed circumstances to give up and we have not given room for God. As I close, you know, it is important for us to put our faith in Jesus till the very end. You know, my mother prayed for my salvation. She prayed and prayed and prayed. I was a horrible, wretched guy. I was an angry person. One day I took the brick to kill my brother. And then my mom comes in between and said, well, if you have to kill your brother, you have to kill me. I was that kind of a person, you know. I was a failure. I failed in everything. I was thrown out of my music school on the first day, saying, you are tone deaf and beat deaf. You can have no qualities of music at all. And I knew nothing. And I wanted to kill myself at 16, being so broken. And during that time, at the lowest point, I went to a youth camp and I heard the audible voice of Jesus Christ. When he said, Benny, even though you are called useless, I want you. I can transform your life and make you a new person. I heard his voice. And that was the turning point in my life. And I gave my life to Jesus. But my mother prayed and prayed and prayed. She did not give up. Dear friends, as you pray for your children, pray for your husband, pray for your wife, pray for your friends, don't give up. Don't put a time limit for God to work through. And my mother prayed and prayed, and she could see a transformation in the entire family. Today, we are one loving family. She prayed for my father's salvation for 17 and a half years. And today, my father is an amazing, amazing man. Prayers work. Don't outsource prayers. The same Jesus yesterday and today and forever can answer your prayers even today. Fervently pray. Just want to close with this, that, you know, prayers for even ideas, like when I broke the world record and came back to India from Pakistan. You know, a lot of these stories are there in the book, which you will understand of how I even made it to Pakistan, which is a miracle for an Indian to go to Pakistan. And when I came back, CNN was the first news channel to interview me. And I had this hat which said, "Thank you, Jesus," because I wanted Jesus to be part of my journey, in my success, in my victories. But they said, "Please remove that hat. That is a religious statement, and we are a secular channel." So I was so disappointed when I had to remove this hat. Then I prayed to Jesus. I said, "God, you have done so much for me. From nothing, you picked me up and you gave me the strength to travel. Give me an idea to design a unique hat, a hat that is politically correct, religiously correct, you know, diplomatically correct, and still I can glorify your name." So God gave this idea. This is a hat which says, "Thank you, Jesus, I'm an Indian." Now this is not a religious statement. It is a patriotic statement. I'm proud to be an Indian. Now if someone says, "You need to take off this hat," I said, "Do you have a problem that I'm an Indian?" And then next thing I'll say, "Well, then that is racism." And you know, that is a very, very big word actually. So nobody will stop me from wearing this hat. Everywhere I go, places where I cannot talk about Jesus, I wear my hat and it does all the talking. In fact, one journalist said, "Benny, instead of hat, why don't you put a small patch somewhere in the corner?" I said, "Why?" He said, "The hat is too bold. It is just, we are not able to cut it out in any angle, you know." I said, "That is exactly what I want to do." And even ordinary failure, God could give such amazing ideas. I believe that Jesus can do wonderful things in your lives too. So fervently pray, dear friends. Don't give up. God can answer your prayers. Remember, don't outsource prayers. Don't shop around for prayers. Have faith that God can answer your prayers. I'm going to close by playing this song, Above All, on the pan flute. And it's a miracle for me to play, because at one point in my life, I only had 40% lungs, and God gave me the opportunity to play at the Paralympic Games. He told me to pick up a new instrument. I said, "God, I can't even breathe properly. You're telling me to play the pan flute." He said, "Benny, if I can use 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to feed 5,000, I can also use 40% lungs to play the pan flute." Ever since then, I stopped giving ideas to God how to do a miracle. Thank you.
light.